Every time we get together, there's different things that we go back and forth about in the area of what would you like to talk about today? And we're praying over this because we don't want this to just be like some sort of talk show. We want this to be helpful. And it seems that there are people that, because of your counseling, that are struggling with different issues. And it would be, of all things, this is something that the world talks about, songs are written about, movies, poetry. I mean, we're talking centuries of this, and God wants to communicate his love, and he has done it through the scriptures, through the gospels, and things along that line. We'll ultimately land over in the first letter of John, the apostle, chapter 4, verse 16. And so, but before we do that, why is this issue of the love of the Father, so real to you, so important to you that people have an understanding of not just the love of Jesus, but the love of the Father?
Well, because, I guess it began because we all have a story. And this is what personally I experienced. The trauma in my life and in my family was losing my dad when I was 9 years old. He suddenly passed away, and my brother was six, and my mom became a young widow, very poor, just totally devastated, and tried to process. Why did God take my father? And my father was an absentee father to begin with. So it wasn't even that he was this amazing father. So I had an absentee father from birth, and then he was suddenly taken, and all the other children had fathers. I had no father. And I concluded in my child thinking and in my teenage years and even in my 20s and 30s that there was something wrong with me. God, I had done some terrible thing. God was angry with me because, after all, God gives life and God gives death. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Sort of we learned that in church, and I learned lots of stuff in church because I was in church 3 to 4 times a week all my life. So, the love of God is truly what heals all our brokenness. And so it's so important for us not just to hear about the love of God, because I heard the love of God in church. Jesus loves me, this I know. Well, but I didn't know. And so what I want to say is, believe it or not, God loves you. So the thing is, do we believe it or do we not believe it? That's the crisis. And every one of us has to face that crisis. Yes, I've heard that God loves me, but the scripture says, have you known? And that word known means, have you seen, experienced practically, and have you rehearsed? Almost like what you rehearse for a play. Well, why do we rehearse a play over and over and over and over again? Now we know the message, we know the plot, we know that, because we wanted to make it clear and settled in our mind once and for all. And Paul tells us that we need to do this because he says, for I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor famine nor pestilence, nor anything or anyone on earth or in heaven can separate me from the love of God. Well, it's not enough for me to just hear this. I need to be persuaded, which means I need to experience it. And perhaps, so this is what I call processing. As we experience something, we get to the point where we are so persuaded that nothing or no one can talk us out of the fact that God loves us. That's where we want to go. That's when love is perfected. When we go through difficult times and we come out of them not being lost and in despair, but being empowered and being rooted and grounded. More stable, where no matter what storm comes in our lives, we are rooted and grounded. God loves me. And I go to the beginning. God said everything that He created was very good. That means including Anna Marie. See, we have to make it personal and individual. Yes, God loves the whole world. And yes, God loves the church. But God loves Mark Myers, God loves Anna Marie, God loves every single human being, knows us specifically. So in the beginning, God said it was very good, everything that he made. And then Jeremiah reminds us that, you know, I have good plans for you.
Yeah.
So when I am rooted in the love of God, then whatever I have to face in life, I can be stable in the fact that God loves me. And the outcome of this mess that I'm facing today is going to be very good. Because God sees the end from the beginning. From the beginning, he said everything that he created was very good. There was nothing that wasn't good that he created. So this mess that to me seems not so good right now and very painful, just remain in the love of God. And you'll come out of it very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. That's our hope. You know, and again, love is the most important, right? Faith builds on hope. So faith, hope, and love. And then the Apostle Paul says, and the greatest of these is love. And I'm thinking, it's not just love like you said in the songs, in the dramas. It's the love of God that I know that I am loved. Mm-hmm. Not that I know that God is love.
Right.
See, we know that. We know God is love, and we know God is all-powerful, and he's omnipotent, and he's all-present, and we also know he is just, and we also know he's a judge, and we also know that, you know, he's sovereign.
Yeah.
So all those characteristics of God, but the essence of God is love, and I think that has to be the foundation that defines all the other characteristics of God.
Yeah.
Yes, he's love, and therefore he's a just judge.
Yeah.
He's love, and therefore what he does, what he wills, he does, and it's all very good.
Yeah.
He's love, and therefore, you know, he's present with me. He's with me when I don't feel him.
Right.
When I don't see the fog what's happening to my life.
Right.
But he's present, and he's all powerful. That means this mess that I can't fix, he said, it is finished. It is said that in Genesis when he created everything, and Jesus said it at the cross, you know, historically, so that the world could hear. And he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I know the end, I know the beginning, and I call it very good, Anna Marie. You are very good. And what is happening to you is going to turn out very good.
Mm.
Very good. Just go with me with the journey.
Yeah. I've heard somebody say, I don't know who made this quote, but if we knew all the facts like God does, we'd want his will. It's like as a parent with our limited amount, there's times where we will pull our child away from something or orchestrate something out of love and control, a good control, not a bad control. And that little kid doesn't know that at the time because they're heading toward this thing that they think would give them pleasure, or they think, and we're pulling them away from it, and we're that little kid screaming or crying, I wanted this, but out of love we do that. Well, God's doing that for us all the time, but he's doing it with perfection.
Right.
And it's so hard when it's just a matter of trust and faith that is the case.
Right. And it goes to knowing that we're loved.
Yeah.
So here's the title of the talk today. Believe it or not. Well, see, we can believe it, or we can refuse to believe that we're loved. And we can keep pointing to all the crisis of our life and point to all the things. This is how I know God didn't love me. Because he put me in a terrible family to begin with. And then he took my dad. And then, you know, we were destitute. And then I had to make my way in life. And I had to watch my poor mother slave. And then, you know, it's like, and he's who's all-knowing and all-powerful could have fixed this.
That's true.
Just like that.
That's how he feels.
That's how a child thinks.
Yes.
But as we are, you know, truly children of God, we have to look at things from a perspective of a parent, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
And we have to look at it from God's eyes. And when I'm looking at the prodigal, the story of the prodigals. We all have a story. I just told you my story from my perspective.
Right.
You know, and I struggled through my Christian life you know, from until age 37, until my eyes were opened and I clearly saw that God loved me as much as Jesus loved me. Because God and Jesus are one. Not only that, the scriptures in John 17:23 says that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. I had never seen that, although I heard lots of messages in John 17, read it myself a good dozen times, I'm sure. At this point, I'm a full adult. So that changed my life. That transformed my attitude towards the Father. He was no longer this far away, separated from me God, who was I was afraid to even talk to.
Right.
Because I figured he knew I was mad at him since he was all-knowing.
Sure.
But I didn't even want to admit it to myself, nor could I admit this to another believer.
Mm-hmm.
It was too terrifying to
me. Right.
So that when that revelation came, when I saw with my spiritual eyes that God and Jesus were one, and if Jesus loved me, which I knew he did because of what he did on the cross, the proof of his love, then I knew that God also loved me. Not only that, I knew God loved Jesus because Jesus was perfect in my thinking, which he is. But I thought I needed to achieve that perfection before I could be loved by God. And in actuality, what I didn't know was that Jesus' perfection included me. So I did not have to keep working for that perfection.
Right.
Because I did become, I became performance-oriented, perfectionist-oriented. Truly, I was enough to drive myself crazy and everybody else around me. Because there was no rest, So that was a big defining moment when I knew that God loved me. So I'm looking at the parable that Jesus said in Luke 15. There are three parables. And I like to think about all three of them all the time. And they all transform my thinking and my emotions and truly bring health to me. The one parable is the parable of the lost sheep. And so when I look at the parable of the lost sheep, and the scripture Isaiah says, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray." So there's not just one sheep that got lost. We all find our way lost. And when I see the steps of the shepherd to get to the sheep, leaving those that are healthy to go to the one that is confused and lost and is going the wrong direction into more peril, and then what he does with his sheep, how he picks her up and holds her and brings her back to the fold and rejoices over her, that's the love of God. And it's not earthly love. See, we're looking for earthly love. What did the sheep do to earn that?
Yeah, nothing.
Not a thing. Did the sheep repent?
I don't think so. No.
Probably not. Not until he took her into his arms and brought her into the fold did the sheep then say,
I'm home, yeah.
I'm home. Yeah. Now her thinking is changing. I'm home. This is a better place. This is the place where I'm loved. See, love. God first loved us. First things first. Then we respond to that love. And then there's the parable of the lost coin. It's fascinating to me that the woman cleans her house. And housewives can relate to this.
Yeah.
Cleaning all the time until the lost coin is found. What is the big significance in the lost coin? Again, it's something else that's lost. They didn't go wander away, had no feet to do that. It's a thing. But what that speaks to me of is that the imprint on the coin and the value of the coin does not change. Never changed, even when the coin was lost.
Right.
It was of no benefit to the woman, but the image and likeness of that coin remains, and that is who we are. Mm. The image and likeness of God was not stamped out and obliterated on the fall.
Yeah.
It wasn't. and Jesus came to restore what was there, to make sure that we knew that he hadn't given up on humanity. To the contrary, he obliterated Adam and placed himself in his place. So, but then the sheep of the Father, it's our story. The older son has a story. The younger son has a story. And the father has a story. And I want to look at the story of the father. We'll briefly look at the youngest son is more like what I would say, maybe the spoiled younger son, you know, who doesn't like to work for his father.
Sure.
You know. And he wants to party, and he wants to have a good time. He sees life as just a big playground, and I want to adventure, I want to experience everything, I want to go to Europe, I want to leave home, I want to get out of this place, but I can't do it without money. So, Father, give me my half now, so I can go and live my life the way I want to. I'm not satisfied with the life that I was born in. And so, now we put ourselves in the shoes of the Father. The father gave him his inheritance before time, before he knew that the son would handle it wisely. As a matter of fact, he knew the son probably wasn't going to handle it wisely. And he never gave up on that son. And that son went and did what he said he was going to do. Well, then there's the story of the older brother. This is what the older brother has to say. Now, I worked for you, Dad, all the years that I was with you. And the word work there is translated slaved. I did everything you told me to do.
Yeah, I met the law.
Yeah.
I met the law, yeah.
All the rules and regulations, you know, get up at 6 in the morning and go feed the cows and go get the hay and go feed, make sure that the workers are doing. I did it all. I did it all. And you never even gave me a little skinny goat. And this is where the son's heart comes out. Not the fatted calf. He didn't even want the fatted calf. The other son didn't even know about the fatted calf. But this son asked for just a little goat that I could party. So the partying was in his heart too. With whom? With the father? With my friends. With my friends. So here we see not the love of son number one, not the love of son number two, but we see the love of the father. And that what that tells me is that our behavior, now this may not be pleasing to the ear of some of us. I know it wasn't to me. But our behavior, whether it's good, which we label the behavior of the oldest son, good citizenship behavior,
right,
law abiding, pleasant person, they're responsible, performing, and we label the life of the younger son, you know, wild, without all caution through the wind, wasteful. Do whatever you want, no thought of family or how it hurt other people. So these, we label these two people like that. But God, I believe that God is looking and saying, you're my children first and foremost, and I have loved you from the beginning. Before you were born, I wanted children. I loved you. And your behavior, son number one, and your behavior, son number two, has nothing to do with how much I love you. And my love, you cannot separate me from it. I don't care how badly you behave. You will not be separated from my love. You are loved no matter what. From the beginning, from when I dreamt about you, before there was even a speck of you, I wanted you. And you are valuable to me, and I love you regardless of your decisions or your behaviors. Now, lest we misunderstand, our decisions and our behaviors do affect our lives. They do affect it, but they don't affect how much we're loved by God. that love does not change. Mm. And that is what I don't think we understand, because we understand love on the practical family day-by-day level.
Right.
You have responsibilities, and if you don't do your responsibilities, you're telling me you're not honoring me as a parent. We have this kind of tug-of-war going, that we relate love with good behavior. And we may be repenting from that. We may need to be repenting from that, which, that when I use the word repenting, I don't mean feel terrible about yourself and whip yourself. I mean change our thinking.
Yeah.
Change our thinking. We are loved. We've always been loved from the beginning. The fall did not change God's love for us. And see, I thought it did. And, you know, and it, I was taught it did. I was taught it separated me from God. But it, in my mind, I was separated from God. But God's love never, ever ended. And as we see in Adam, God pursued Adam, didn't abandon him. And then when Cain came along and Cain killed his brother, God pursues Cain. Now, this is not my kind of love.
Right, right.
My kind of love would not pursue Cain.
Yeah.
But it's God's kind of love. And see, when Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, he's so right. Isaiah was correctly saying that. Because we don't think like God.
Right.
And this, but this is the kingdom. The kingdom of God has this kind of love in it. The kingdom of this world, no. No, the king to this world is, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. Mm. You know, if you don't love me, I don't love you. If you're not nice to me, you didn't bring me, send me a card, didn't bring me a present. Next your birthday, you're not getting a card. And this is the love that we know.
Right.
But we need to be experiencing the sacrificial agape love that is not earned, deserved, performed, or achieved. But it, we rest in that. We rest in it. That's the rest that Jesus calls us to when he said, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. There's no rest in ourselves.
Right.
And then he said, learn of me. And I thought, that's interesting. There's something here that I have to learn, which, you know, sounds almost like a work, but it's truly is learn to rest. In other words, learn to stop performing. Learn to stop achieving. Learn to stop judging yourself, that if your goodness is going to change my love for you, because it isn't. Or your good deeds, or your good... not, you already loved. You've maxed out.
Yeah.
You know? You have it. You have me. Because I am love. You have me in you. You have, I'm in you and you are in me. And we are one and we have never been separated. So, practicing the love of God is what the Christian life should be. Because we're still on the same topic. Last week, last time we talked about I'm crucified with Christ. I'm buried with him. I'm resurrected with him. And the life that I now live, which is my new life, I live by faith, right? By faith. And faith is something that is changed and energized by love. But I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. So my faith has to be first and foremost in that God loved me. Loves me continuously. And that I'm not separated from his love. Because if I question God's love for me, then my faith weakens. And I can't go through the crisis stable and rooted and grounded. I will be blown back and forth, double-minded, unknowing what is going to happen in this mess. Am I going to die in this?
Mm.
Is my family going to perish in this? And I'm not talking about, you know, eternity here. I'm talking about life now.
Right.
What is going to happen to my life now? Because
yeah.
Our eternal life is, it is settled. But my life now, is where the variables are.
Yeah.
So believe it. Believe it. Mm. Don't not believe it. That you are loved by God from the beginning, and that nothing and no one, no trial, no temptation, no trouble can separate you from the love of God.
Amen. Well, would you pray as we're wrapping this up? And I know we're going to keep working on this one, because this, I think, is so earthy. It's so real, because it's almost like, do I feel comfortable walking into the kitchen of God's home and opening up the fridge, knowing He's not going to get angry about me opening up the fridge, even if I got in late from the curfew? Does He have expectations? Obviously, but it's all for our good. It has nothing to do with you better be good for goodness sake. It's not Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. It truly is. This is what's best for you. And that's even love. It's all motivated by all of that. And so we're not tied. The love of God is not tied even to our behavior, our thoughts, all those things that are works on our part. But we live in a law abiding era that, right, even as we look on the screens and we watch the news, God loves these rioters. God loves these policemen. God loves all different sides of this with a pure, pure love. Wow, to get a grip of that. And so if you're listening today and you are struggling with this, you're not alone, first of all. You're not alone that you deal with this kind of thing. But know that what Anna Marie is talking about is truth. And so, believe it or not, God loves you. So would you pray for this person as they're listening?
Sure. Father, I am so thankful that you first loved us. And you loved every single individual human being, regardless of their thoughts, their actions, their behavior, their past. That has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that you love us, and you will always love us. You have always loved us from the beginning. You love us in the middle of our messes, and you love us at the end of our messes, and you will love us forever, because you are an eternal, loving God. You do not change. Love is who you are. And Father, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear your truth, that we are totally loved by you from eternity to eternity, uninterrupted love that is personal love. Righteous is who you are, but righteous means that you are a relational God that puts everything straight and right the way they were created in the beginning in our lives. And though that may be sometimes difficult for us to see and to understand, you carry us through it, just like you carry the lamb, just like you said to us, come to me, I will give you rest from this stress, from this pain, from this anxiety, from this fear. I will give you rest. My love will put you at ease. And Father, we need that so, so much in this world. But we know we are living in this world, and we have to learn to live in this world knowing that we came from above, and our destination is to go back with you above. So Father, give us the revelation that we need of your love to live our lives today, day by day, and especially during the crisis times.
Amen.